There's something about that name. Thank you, Robert. Good morning. This Bible lesson this morning, Sunday school, rather than preaching, I would like to share a few thoughts about what God is doing in this world, what we are doing with Him, and what He is doing with us. There's a verse in Galatians chapter 6 that we need to read every once in a while just to remind ourselves. It's an admonition from the Apostle Paul, and it is appropriate in every believer's life at one time or another. It's in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let me read it again. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And then John chapter 4. I want us to look at a perfect example of well-doing. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, for he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knowest the gifts of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will teach us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore saith the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Father, bless these moments and minutes as we turn our hearts and our attention to thy precious word. May they minister grace to every hearer. If there is someone in our midst who knows not Jesus Christ and the joy of sins forgiven, may the light of thy scripture penetrate the darkness of their heart. May they see themselves a sinner and see the Lord Jesus as the only Savior, and come to faith in Christ. And then for every believer here, perhaps some who are weary in well-doing, that we might be encouraged as we consider thy precious word and the precious work. Of declaring and proclaiming the message of salvation. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul didn't have this in mind when he said it, but I believe it is applicable. Let us not be weary in well-doing. There might be a tendency, there might be a possibility that along the way we don't get tired of the way, but we get tired in the way. And so throughout the scripture we find words of encouragement, and God has encouraged us many times. The Apostle Paul says, let us not be weary in well-doing. And this world could use some well-doing. Nobody ever got to heaven by doing well. No one ever got to heaven by doing good. But the Lord Jesus has done well. And he has done the greatest good on a cross of Calvary. But the church is called to do good works. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what the world sees. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. I can't see your heart this morning. God can. We can only see the good works. We just see the outside. And so, good works has its place. But there's no greater good work, and there's no greater well-doing than the work of the gospel and the work of the church. And here we find the Lord Jesus doing well at a well, and he is doing well-doing. And let us not be weary in the work of God. Let us not be weary in the call of Christ. Let us not be weary of the way, even if we might be weary in the way. The Lord Jesus himself was weary in the way. Verse 6, chapter 4, and now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore being wearied with his journey. And so here is the Son of God who is weary in the way, but not weary of the way, For even though he was weary in the way, in verse 34, he says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So there's a difference between being weary in the way and weary of the way, and I would believe you would say this morning that you're not weary of the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by thee. And we are still just as fresh in our faith in that this morning as we were the first day we embraced it, the first day we believe it. Jesus Christ will never disappoint us. Jesus Christ will never let us down. Jesus Christ will never leave us or forsake us. And so we just reminded ourselves this morning that we might be weary in the way. Jesus was. But we're not weary of the way. And just as the Apostle Paul made it clear that sometimes there's a danger that we might become weary in well-doing, we need to recognize that God has called us to some very important well-doing. And that is seen right here at the well of Sychar. There's just something about this story that draws me, that encourages me, and yet teaches me. You would think that religion would bring people together. It would cause somehow people to love one another. One would think. But unfortunately, that's not what religion does. Here, the Lord Jesus comes to a well, and immediately there's an animosity, immediately there's a division, immediately there's a disagreement, if you will. Instead of religion bringing people together, which people hope it does the opposite. It repels people into this group and that group and this camp and that camp. How are you, a Jew, speaking to me, a Samaritan? Instead of bringing us together in love, what religion really does is it separates us apart, and there's the difference between a religion and a personal relationship with God. I gave up on religion when I received a personal relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this world needs to give up on religion as well. Whether it's in Afghanistan or in Iraq or in Baghdad or in Babylon, it divides people and it'll never solve the problems that there are in this world. So the answer is not religion. And I hope what you got was not religion. I hope that one day you came to a personal faith in Jesus Christ and entered into a relationship with God. His name is called Emmanuel, which means God with us, and that word with describes a relationship. And I want him to be with us. And that's what it's all about, being with him. And so here we have this picture of the Samaritan meeting a Jewish, a man wearing a Jewish habit, and she immediately finds an ingrained animosity towards him because of her religion or her ideas about his religion. And she had no idea who she was talking to. And I'll talk to that subject in just a moment. But there's something else I'd like for us to think about this morning that is very, very important and significant in our day and in our time. If you look at this passage, and again in verse 6, there's a phrase that jumps out at me, and it says very simply, now Jacob's well was there. Now Jacob's well was there. Can you imagine if it wasn't there? The story wouldn't be in our Bible. Do you see how important it is that Jacob's well was there? If they had been following their maps and came to the spot where they thought they would get water, and they would ask what happened to the well, there wouldn't be the story in the Bible. 2,000 years before, God had given this well as a gift. And this well was still there. And countless numbers of thirsty people would give a testimony to the fact that that well had saved their lives in the middle of a drought, or that well had nourished them when they were parched, or that well had refreshed them when they needed it most and they were weary in the way. And I'm glad to say that the well was there. And because of that, a Samaritan woman is going to spend eternity in heaven because the well was there. Let us not be weary in well-doing. There are businesses all over this land that are pulling up their stakes for one reason or another, closing their gates, padlocking their factories, going out of business. And every single one of us have had the experience of going back years later to that place you went to purchase something years ago and it's not there anymore. You say, what happened to the, you know, the, oh, they closed. I'm glad that that well was still there after those thousands of years, and that woman of Sychar and the Lord Jesus met because the well was still there. And there's a lesson there. You and I are living in the midst of a drought, plagued, parched planet that desperately needs spiritual wells where souls can drink of living water. It's important that the wells be there. I want you to think with me just a little bit this morning about the well, and then we'll look at the woman, and then we'll look at the word, and then we'll look at the world. But I want you to think specifically about the well, first of all, this morning. Bible scholars tell us that Sychar and Shechem are the same place. I don't know if that's the case. Very well could be. If it was, we know that it was purchased. We read about that in the book of Genesis. God first appeared to Abraham in Shechem, Genesis chapter 12 and verse 6. God first appeared to this man of the Chaldeans, the father of the faith. God appeared to Abraham, and he appeared to many others at this, or a place just like this. In Genesis chapter 34, the Bible says that Jacob dwelt there. He watered his flocks. In Genesis chapter 37 and verse 12, the Bible says that Joseph's brethren fed flocks there. Joshua's last message was given there. And the Bible tells us that the bones of Joseph were carried there. Acts chapter 7 and verse 16. In other words, what I'm saying is it has a track record. It has a history, if you will. Just like, well, this local assembly has a history. And that history is a history of men and women who came to a well expecting to get something. And they weren't disappointed. And likewise, there are people still in this world that desperately need the living water that's offered in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a tendency to get weary in well-doing. And Paul says, don't do it. Several things about this well. Now, Jacob's well was there. Number one, it stood the test of time. Number one, it stood the test of time. It endured. If nothing else, a local assembly, a fellowship of believers, is called to endure. It's called to be faithful. And as we look at the early church in the book of Acts, the Bible tells us, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Well, it's required of a steward to be found faithful. And God reminds us again and again in His Word that our job is not to be brilliant. It's just to be faithful. Our job is not to be super bad. It's just to be faithful. Our job is not to come up with good ideas. Our job is just to be faithful. Down through the Bible, we find the story of men and women that were faithful. They're rare. That's why they stand out. And we read their lives and we are amazed at what God did. When a person trusts God, that's called faith. When God can trust us, that's called faithfulness. Now we can trust God. We know that. But oh, can God trust me? Can God trust you? God calls us to be not successful, not the biggest, not the best, not the brightest. He just calls us to be faithful. The Bible says that Jacob's well was there. I'm glad it was still there. Some thirsty soul might have been very disappointed, thinking it's only a few more kilometers and finally I'll get a drink of water. I don't know if I can make it, but I'll do the best I can and I'll reach down into my innermost being and as best I can, I'll put one foot in front of the other and I'll try to get there because I know when I get over that ridge that Jacob's well is there. Hang on, don't give up. Wouldn't it be terrible if you got over the hill and you looked and said, wait a minute, what happened to the well? I thought there was a well here. Oh, that dried up a long time ago. I'm glad that it was there. Because there was a woman of Samaria who desperately needed to know the Lord of glory, a God who loved her so much that He sent His Son into this world, and He had a rendezvous. There was a meeting place, and He was to meet her there at this well, and she would find living water. And Jacob's well was there. I remember inviting people to come and visit the meeting. They wouldn't come. Bump into them 6 months later and invite them to meeting and they wouldn't come. Said they would. Saw them 6 months after that, invite them to the meeting and they said they'd come but they didn't come. And I saw one person, I invited him for 3 years, and then finally one day he walked in the door. I'm glad that we were still there. I'm glad that we were still there. He was expecting to see us. Because we invited him. Hey, listen. The first thing about this well in Sychar was that it endured the test of time. Now, there are fly-by-nights everywhere. They pop up and they're flash in the pan. Anybody can run a 50-yard dash. But you and I are called to run a marathon. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
2,000 years the Church of Jesus Christ has been in this parched world. And I'm glad to announce that it's still here. The armies of evil and wicked men have tried to destroy it. Nations have outlawed it. And even if it had to go into the catacombs and didn't have the luxury of the cathedrals, the church is still here.
you and I are a part of it. Let's not be weary in well-doing. The second thing about this well is it contained water. "Give me water to drink," said Jesus. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Chapter 2. And verse 17. "These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of the darkness is reserved forever." Paul's talking about false prophets, false teachers. He describes them as wells without water. Whoa, what a terrible picture. An awful metaphor. A well without water. Looks like a well. Might be a little bucket hanging on the post. And you start to anticipate getting a cold drink. What a disappointment to find a well without water. And yet, there are many places just like that. They're dry. There's no water there. May it never be said among us that we have become a well without water, because this world desperately needs it. Second thing about this well that made it a well was it had water. If it doesn't have water, it's not a well anymore. Just a hole in the ground. Oh, Lord, may there always be water in the well of our lives, in the well of our hearts, in the well of our ministries, in the well of our assemblies. May there always be water. Because if there's no water in the well is not a well, it's just a hole in the ground. And there's too much at stake for that to be. Third thing about this well, it had clean water. We don't have time to exhaust these passages, but if you look at Exodus chapter 15 and verse 25 later, the children of Israel came to a well and it was bitter and they couldn't drink it. They wanted to drink it. They were thirsty. But they couldn't drink it because it was bitter. And of course, you know the story of how Moses threw in the tree, and the tree represents the cross. You know that? One of the things that'll ruin a well or an assembly or a church is bitterness. Oh, Lord, may that never be so in my heart. It's too much at stake. The world desperately needs the living water of God's eternal word. There's too much at stake that some thirsty soul might walk through the doors and they're looking for some water. They can't drink it because it's bitter. May never be so in your life and in my life, in your ministry, in my ministry, that there ever be a root of bitterness. Water needs to be clean. It needs to be pure so that people can drink it. The fourth thing about this is found in verse 11. "The woman said unto him, Sir, that thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." I'm glad that well was deep. I flip the channel around on TV just like you do, and I listen to a lot of stuff, and it's not very deep. Matter of fact, it's pretty shallow. And I'm amazed at how people settle for tepid waters and shallow waters. Jacob's well was there, and it was deep. And this world desperately needs water from great depths. You and I need to get into the Word of God, the artesian wells of God's eternal Word, and go down deep into the things of the faith. Deep. I'm not saying that you have to be a rocket scientist or you have to have a very long rope. God will somehow bring the deep water up to the surface, but it has to be deep. And we have a whole generation, I'm afraid, that has been sailing in the shadows, in the shallows. Lord, I want to go deeper into a relationship with you. I want to go deeper into the things you have for me. They that go out into the waters of the deep, said the psalmist, see the wonders of the Lord. Some ships used to just hug the shoreline. For years, that's all they did. If they couldn't see the shore, they would get nervous and they would stay close as they could to the shore. And finally, great mariners like Christopher Columbus and Vasco da Gama, De Soto, were willing to risk it and no longer see the shore and discover unknown worlds and treasures. Can I suggest to you that God sometimes wants us to go out into the deep, go deeper with Him? At the same time, I think every church and every assembly that will endure the test of time has to be deep. Not a shallow Christian walk, not a shallow faith, not a shallow belief, but deep. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Wow. It was deep, the lady said. The fifth thing about this is that it bore a name. It says in Jacob's well was there. Verse 12. Art thou greater than our father Jacob?
You see, this well had a name, and everybody said, I'll meet you down by Jacob's well. And somehow through the years of time, that name stuck. And even though it was passed on to Joseph and passed on to somebody else, isn't it amazing? It says it was given to Joseph, but it's not called Joseph's well. It's called Jacob's well, and that name stuck. And that name was carried all through these years. And she speaks of our father Jacob.
And sometimes churches have a way of putting a great man's name on the well. Whether it's a Wesley or a Luther or Spurgeon, or have a way of putting a name. And they used to talk about Spurgeon's church. Oh, he was a great preacher. I cannot even hold his sandals. He would blow me out of the room. I couldn't preach like Spurgeon. But they used to talk about Spurgeon's church. I can't preach like Moody, but they used to talk about Moody's church. Somebody said they go to Charles Stanley's church.
We have a way of putting man's name on what belongs to God, and there's somebody that's greater than Jacob, amen?
Jesus' church.
Jesus said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
Where do you go? Well, I go to something, they name a man. Sometimes even in the assemblies. Where do you go? I go where so-and-so. Whoa, there's a name identified with that church. There's a name identified with that assembly. And I don't think that should be so. Not if that well is God's well and it's eternal. We gather in the name of the Lord Jesus. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Art thou greater than our father Jacob? Well, yes. And greater than Solomon, and greater than David, and greater than Moses. The Lord Jesus. I go to his church. Number 6, it brought a soul to Christ. I'm glad that it was there. There, sitting by the side of the well, was a woman who desperately needed living water. She would have settled for less. If you knew who's speaking to you, you would ask of him, and he would give you living water. In the original language, she kept speaking of the well. But in the Greek, Jesus always speaks of the fountain, if you look at that. She always referred to the well. Jesus spoke of the fountain. There's a big difference. The seventh thing about this well was it was a work of grace. The water was free. A lot of people want to charge for the well. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 26, please. Genesis chapter 26, verse 18. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. Isaac was a well digger, not a gold digger, a well digger. There's a difference. This is free. And there's always the Philistines that are not far away that are going to do everything they can to stop up the wells. I don't know why they did that. Why did they do that? Look at it. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. Why did they do that? I don't know, but they do it, and they do it around the world today. There's some evil people, some wicked people, that they'll drop a dead cow down in your well. Nobody can drink from it. They throw old tires and old bottles and old refrigerators down in a well in the country, and you go to get a drink, and you look down and you say, who did that? The Philistines. And Isaac said, I have to dig the wells again. And I'm glad that he did. He didn't just drop dead and die. He said, look, we're going to dig the wells again. Let us not be weary in well digging. Let us not be weary in well doing. We'll dig the wells again. If you read this account, we don't have time to go into it. But it wasn't enough that he digged the wells again. Verse 20. Verse 19. Isaac's servants digged the valley, and they found the well with the springing water, and the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the well is ours. People started fighting over the well. The well is ours. And they called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strived for that also, and called the name of it Sitnah. And if you read this account, Isaac kept digging wells, and somebody kept saying, no, that's my well. And they strove over the water. They strove over the well. And that's the way it is in our world today. And it should not be so. If we have religion, people are always going to be fighting over the well. But if we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then the water is free. It's named after Him and for Him. It's a place where thirsty souls can find living water, where they can meet with Jesus. As I conclude, the thing that made this special, more than a religious experience, was not in its position. Now, Jacob's well was there, but it was in a person who came to sit at the well. You see, if she had gone to that well that afternoon and he wasn't there, she would have went home with a little bit of water and she would be thirsty again. You see, the difference between religion and a relationship is that in a relationship, Jesus shows up. If he doesn't show up on Sunday morning at 9:30, we're just going to thirst again. If he doesn't show up at 11 o'clock, we just have religion. But if he shows up, he comes and draws close to us, and we are with him, then we have springs of living water. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's do well for His honor and His glory to some thirsty soul that needs to drink eternal water. Jesus died on the cross to pay for all of our sin. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. If you've never confessed your sin to Him, as Jesus pierces your conscience and says, go get your husband, admit that you have fallen short of the glory of God. And then see Him as the Savior when He says, I that speak unto thee am He. Believe in Him as the promised one who came to save. Trust Him as your Savior and then rush back into your city and say, come see a man who told me all things whatsoever I did. Now, we don't bring him necessarily to the well of Sychar, but we bring him to where we know he is, so they can know him also. Let's tell the world about Jesus. Let's not be weary in well-doing. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for that encounter in Sychar so long ago. Thank you for touching a woman's life. Thank you for giving her eternal life. Thank you for coming to save us. I pray that you would help us as believers in this world to not be weary, but to stay faithful to thee and to thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good day, and God bless you all.